in the bondage. One without any precedent. A new form of government in the federal system. No precedent for it in the entire history of man. And they undertook to make freedom work. The unfavorable circumstances in which they found themselves at the end of the revolution. And they made that system work. And it is made possible. The flowering of freedom and individual initiative and free enterprise. And that has contributed to the great position which we occupied in 1968. So we've had practice in the arts of freedom, in the operation of the institutions of a free society, nurturing the spiritual values that accompany that kind of growth. We've got all that behind us. And all that accumulated strength and faith in our hearts and minds and spirits. We have that in 1968. And in the course of this great history, we brought in 40 million immigrants from overseas. People who couldn't speak the language. People who didn't know what freedom was like. People, most of whom didn't have the skills and the education to take advantage of the opportunities that were available. And America absorbed them and made a place for them. And they've enriched this country with their cultures from their homeland, with the traditions of their homeland, with everything that is good and strong from the countries of their origin. This has all contributed to make America strong in 1968. And we made the Industrial Revolution. Oh, it had its beginnings elsewhere, too. But this has been one preeminent country that has demonstrated what the Industrial Revolution means and can mean. And in this year, 1968, the mature societies and countries of Europe are fearful that American technology, American managerial skill will dominate the industry of the free world. We've accumulated that strength. And with all these sources of strength building to a climax as a pinnacle in 1968, what do we hear in this campaign? We hear that all that we've done has been wrong, that we've done it the wrong way, that building an open, free, expanding, growing society is not the way to build a safe and secure America. Do any of you really believe that?
No.
We know from our experience that the only way to be safe and secure in any society is to create a society in which every member of it has a stake and hope for improvement in the future. That's the lesson of our great national history, and I ask just one thing. That message is being peddled by George Wallace. I ask you to join with us in putting a final stop to that kind of concept so that it will never arise again in America. So that America can be truly free. That is the American citizen. Fear, hatred, and division has no place in the future of a free America. They can destroy America as they destroyed other societies and other countries in the history of America. Now I'd like to present to you, I think I can claim this privilege, a product of this great history, which is ours. A colleague of mine on the House side, another body in which I was never privileged to serve, who serves on the Committee on Banking and Currency in the House, and I serve on the same one in the Senate. We've argued long hours in House and Senate conferences over which of us could do the most for the people who need help. Your guest of honor, Bill Barrett, do I understand?
Thank you. tell you that the campaign has been doing very well. Everywhere we've been across the country, it's been very well received and well received. And Fort Perry has been received. I think it's very readily apparent that those, in fact, really don't believe in the democratic process. They think that maybe 25 or 30 people have the right to keep everybody else from listening. I don't think so, and you don't either. And the people are here to listen to the issues of the campaign, so why don't you just tone down a little bit back there and be nice. As I was telling you, great reception around the country, and one thing I find is that the people of this country are dedicated and they're absolutely committed that we're going to have a new administration to restore a measure of sanity to how this country runs. Burn their draft cards in front of us. And that's the big difference between Senator Lusky and me. Because part of the penalty is the stigma and the disgrace that comes with breaking the law. And there is no stigma and disgrace when people approve of other people breaking the law. So you see, I just don't see eye to eye with Mr. Muskie on this point. Listen, Without interruption, I'd like to talk a little bit about education in the state of Maryland. You asked for it, now listen to it. The 1968 Maryland General Fund budget increased higher education appropriations by 15.7%. The 1968 General Fund increase was $8,038,623 and was the second highest in the past 14 years. The 1969 budget appropriations increased 7% more. All right, let's get on with faculty. I'd like to take care of the people who want to hear something specifically. These are the faculty. Why don't you listen if you want to hear something that they're asking? They really don't
representative of the youth of this country.
because I'm very proud of the wonderful and attentive young men and women that I've had in my audiences as I've moved around. Your parents must be deeply saddened by your conduct, for your manners are rude and deplorable. I'm frankly ashamed, but I think you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Let's talk a little bit about the war in Vietnam. Nobody wants us to be involved in that terrible struggle in Vietnam. But remember one thing about it. We've been involved there partly since President Eisenhower's in office. Because I've got a little research on that organization. I know you have some people on the Towson campus, and I know you might go over to the government. But you say that just like you feel, I think you're not going to make it. You're just not going to make it. On November 5th, we're going to abandon an office that's going to take this country forward without you. And we've got the finest crop of young people this country's ever seen, but you're not part of it.
And that's the way it's going to be.
but one in North America. Oh, you are a sick person, aren't you? Is this. People in this country who truly are waiting for and feel they're entitled to a change for the better, will not throw their votes away on a third party ticket that can't be elected. Now, I don't understand why some people get carried away and want to vote for Mr. Wallace, particularly when they have this kind of thing bounced off them a few times. But you see, I still believe in a right to dissent properly, and I still believe in the people being assisted properly. And I still believe in the civil rights that I worked so hard for when I was county executive of this county. But I don't happen to believe in anarchy and disruption. So I'm not going to support those things, just because some people are likely to do it. We are not going to waste our votes on George Wallace and Curtis LeMay this year. Thank you. be here awe-inspired by what you've heard from these new dissenters tonight, because they represent what you're going to get more and more of if you would be raised hungry in the presence.
Daddy. Oh.